We are, of course, in the book of Leviticus. It's not just the holy days, but it's also talking about the Sabbath. It first starts out talking about Sabbath. So this basically the service, you might say, is the Shabbat and Moedim. Might want, if you want a title for this thing.
Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Shabbat of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Shabbat to the Lord in all your dwelling places. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work, but you shall present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work." And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Shabbat, the priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb a year old without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah, fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched or fresh, until the same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Shabbat, from the day which you brought to the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Shabbat. Then you shall present the grain offering of the new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. These shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall observe a solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, "Now on the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work, It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Shabbat of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the ninth day of the month, beginning the evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Shabbat. And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, On the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation, for presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings, and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day. Besides the Lord's Shabbats, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out from the land of Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God. Thus Moshe declared to the people of Israel the appointed feasts of the Lord.
Any thoughts? You probably already know this chapter, right? So let's close the book. Say goodbye. Yes.
On verse 24, it mentions blowing of trumpets. Now, can that, is that a trumpet or is that a ram's horn they're talking about?
No, that actually is the trumpet. It's those silver trumpets. Okay. That's the talk when you use that term. It does translate as a shofar, but that's where you make a lot of noise in that point. But yeah, there's only two silver trumpets, but the word there and there would be like a shofar in your language right there. They just kind of translated the word trumpet because they didn't know what else to do with it. Oh, sure. He says, when you're happy, you can blow the shofar. Right? You call upon the Lord, you blow the shofar. You know, I'll hear you, he says. Sean.
Verse 2, it says, and you shall proclaim. That word proclaim in the Hebrew, does that relate more to like a rehearsal?
Repeat?
Rehearsal. That word proclaims, like these are like rehearsals?
No. That's not what it means. Any other questions? I'm sorry, what?
Can you explain that?
Oh.
Explain what?
Okay, let's go into just a little bit. The first subject matter here is, of course, the Shabbat itself. Right? And in this one here, he says, now... He says, say unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, it says, Feast of Yahweh. We'll talk about that word more. It's actually translated as Moed of Yahweh. When you read the word feast here in this chapter, the word is Moed. Not Moedim. It's just Moed. Mean an appointment. And an appointment can be at a place, a time, or an event. That's all that word means. So when we use the word Moedim, we think that means appointed time. No, it just means appointed. That's all it means. We read that before, remember? We went through that before. It's very important to know the difference between the two. If they don't explain the next word, then there is something to tell you. It's just an appointment or an assignment. When they went to the, well, so the congregation of the tabernacle of a congregation. Remember that word is the tabernacle of not congregation. What does it say? Tabernacle of Moab. Tabernacle of Moab. So every time you read in your book of Leviticus here, and it uses the word tabernacle of congregation, it means basically literally the tabernacle of appointments. You will come to the tabernacle of appointments because you go to the tabernacle to be appointed to do something or to participate in something or to be given an assignment to go do something, right? So it's really kind of a simple word, but we kind of wrap it all together, think it only means one thing, but it really means appointments. And he says, and you shall declare or proclaim to be holy convocations. And these are my Moadim. Verse 2, last word, these are my Moadim. So these Moadim belong to God. The appointed times are God's appointed times. And God's appointed place is God's appointed place. Remember, the tabernacle is what? We're talking about this point in time in history. What's tabernacle represent? Dwelling place of God. So it tells you, go to God for a moed. And that's what this is about here. And so you go to God and you find out, what is it that is Moab, Moadim? What are your Moadims? Moadims, that's not right, I'm sorry. Moadim. And so God now in this chapter is telling us one of the very first appointed times, because this particular chapter is referring to times. So he's appointing a certain time. Now this particular one I want you to know about, the first appointed time, if I can use that word, time is this, the Shabbat, the seventh day of the week. And that's what you could do there is rest on the Holy Convocation. And see, Holy Convocation, that is my appointed time, my appointed assignment, my appointed place. All right? We look at it this way. So when he says to proclaim it, what does that mean?
Tell everybody.
No. That's not what I said. He says exactly what to do. This is what you actually do to proclaim what? The seventh day. Listen very carefully. Exodus chapter 20. This is what you do to proclaim it. You're not practicing it. You're just proclaiming it by what you do, not what you, and you don't proclaim it by what you don't do. Remember, I've tried to say it before and I'll say it again. It's either you do it or you don't do it. When you do it, you're proclaiming it. When you don't do it, you're not proclaiming it. Does that make sense to you?
Now it does.
Okay. English has a really hard time trying to explain a simple thing, in my mind anyway. This you do, this, and if you don't do it, you're not doing it. You proclaim it if you do it, you don't proclaim it if you don't do it. So when you don't keep the Sabbath, what are you doing? Well, the seventh day, you're not proclaiming it. Right? That's all. So it's not that hard to figure out. And listen with this. You're the 20th chapter of Exodus. Well, it's very important because this is more explanation in detail about how, should I say, to proclaim the Sabbath. Okay? We'll use this word. And starting in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. This is how you proclaim the Sabbath. Right? And he says, remember the Sabbath day, or the Sabbath time, basically, and to keep it holy. Oh, so now if we proclaim it, we're doing something. Are we doing something if we proclaim it, if we do what he says now? Are we practicing what is holy? If we don't proclaim it, are we practicing what is holy? No. So this is an action of what is holy, what is not holy. I've tried to explain many, many times. Sometimes people put the word holy way over here. It doesn't affect us at all. Holiness only affects, you know, the priest. Holiness only affects God. Holiness, no. Over and over again, we all read this many times. For God said, be you holy, because I am holy. Why? How, God just stands there being holy? God does things. He's not a sitting down, sleeping king or God that doesn't know what's going on. Now he comes, he says now, verse 2, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. So when we labor and work for 6 days, is that holy or unholy? Because why? God worked for those 6 days. What he did was holy, right? Say simple language, right? Okay, now let's go on. Verse 10, very important to pay attention to. Very, very careful. It's written in Hebrew, and that's what it says. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahuwah, thy Elohim. Thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor your son or your daughter, your maidservant, so on and so forth. Now here we have a proclamation to proclaim something. On the seventh day, if you do not work, are you doing that as holy or unholy?
Holy.
Okay. If you work, are you doing something that is holy or unholy? Okay. Now, what if you labor? Are you doing something holy or unholy? The more that the word of God says, it's work that you do not do.
Well, what's labor?
What is labor? Come on, people. Raise your hand. Tell her. Not going to tell her?
It means
to serve. You don't get paid for it. You're not laboring. You're not working. Sweat. You're actually serving somebody or serving something of God. Whether it's, you know, you can serve God 6 days a week and the seventh day of the week. And you can work for God 6 days of the week, but not on the seventh day. The moratorium is on work. So that gives us, what did Yeshua say? You already told the people, but you know on a Sabbath day, if a person's ox falls in a ditch, what are you going to do? What are you doing? Are you working?
No.
You're serving the person because they're in need. There's nothing contrary to the word of God on the Sabbath day. Now, on the Sabbath day during the book of Genesis, what did God do on the Sabbath day? Let's take a nap.
He rested.
What did he rest? From his work. He did not rest from serving his creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? We took this English word of labor and we make it into things like, you know, labor unions. What else do we put labor into? A woman having labor. But, tell you, a woman has a labor on the Sabbath. Guess what she's doing? She's having labor. Is she transgressing the Torah? She transgressing on the Shabbat if a baby is born? No. But if she's working, then there's something wrong. Yes.
Labor in Hebrew means service?
Yes, to serve with one another.
To serve?
To serve. So now we have to look and say, what is it that we are going to proclaim? Yes?
I just want to go back to the Moedim.
Moedim means appointments.
Right, okay.
Or,
if
yes.
We go back to the book of Genesis, the first chapter with Adam and Eve, and
yeah.
The Lord had an appointed time to talk to them.
Yes.
Is that the same
word? And they had to show up, didn't they?
Right.
They're supposed to show up.
Right.
I mean, I have to walk? Oh, on a Sabbath day journey. How long is a Sabbath day journey? Let's see. What does the Moedim say in the Word of God? 1 foot? 1 mile? 16 kilometers? Maybe 4 millimeters? What is it? Because it's not written. Very important, it's not written. Yes, we have the New Testament where there is a Sabbath day journey. And asking that question, was that the law? Yes, of the time. For not what is written, Because you have heard it been said, but it's not so. All right. So we're looking at the Sabbath day. And it's very, very important that we kind of pay attention. And what did he do? You know, for 6 days he made heaven and earth, verse 11 here, and sea and all that is in them. And he rested, or to use the word, he refreshed himself. He stopped working. He stopped creating. Book of Hebrews says he stopped creating. He don't create anymore? No, he doesn't. He stopped creating. It's finished. What's he doing now? What is God doing to his creation? He's serving his creation. Day in and day out, second by second, minute by minute. He's doing this to such a great extent. He served his serving his creation by giving his son life to give to this creation. Was he working when you did that?
No.
He was serving. When you have a real, quote, a sacrifice, that's a horrible word. Sacrifice does not mean to kill something. In a sense it can, but what it means is this. You're lifting something up and giving it to God. What's that word in Hebrew? Karban. Karban. You're giving something. You're walking up and giving something to God. That's what you call labor and service. Now, when the priesthood had to do all this, quote, work on the Sabbath, were they breaking that which is unholy? Or breaking that which is holy?
Yes.
No. What were they doing? They were serving very closely and pay attention to it. They weren't out there mowing the lawn. They weren't out there feeding their chickens. They weren't out there cutting down trees. They weren't out there building their houses. They weren't out there building something. They were serving. That's why they don't transgress the law. Right? So do you understand what I'm saying so far? So the purpose of the Sabbath, to proclaim it, is to do exactly what it says. That's how you, as an individual person, don't have to get on a microphone, don't have to get on radio, you don't have to write a bunch of documentaries, put it on YouTube, don't have to have a video. All you have to do is do it. And somebody's going to notice you're proclaiming something. And they're going to say, what are you doing? I'm keeping the Sabbath holy. Oh, how do you do that? Oh, I don't work. That's it. Yeah, I don't work. That's what it says. And I have a holy convocation. That's what it says there in Leviticus. I go there with people who are also holy unto the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? You understand this so far about this Sabbath day? Next subject matter comes on the scene. Any questions about this, by the way? Okay, next one is about what else? Now he introduces a subject matter that's a little bit different.
Are we back in 23 again?
I'm sorry, what?
Are we back in Leviticus?
Yeah, back in Leviticus, I'm sorry. Now, it says there, very interesting, in verse 4, and it says, these are the Moedim of Yahuwah, holy convocations, Yahuwah's holy convocations, and ye shall proclaim, same word, in their seasons, in their time. Now we associate with time. As the seventh day is wind up being associated with a time, the seventh day of the week is associated with time, not with going to have an appointment to go and do another job, or go there to do something else, to go into the Lord for some other reason. This has to do with a specific time period, right? And so we're looking at this point, and he says, now what's the first thing he says? The 14th day of the first month at evening is your Passover. Horrible translation, by the way. That's not what it says in Hebrew. Can anybody else answer her question? Yes.
Twilight is a problem.
Twilight is not there. You could go to Hebrew. I got a lot of translations of the Hebrew writings. Hebrew scholars, and it's writing it out. They'll tell you exactly what it is. It actually means in the afternoon. Sorry, what? Okay, in Hebrew, they didn't translate that in English right. It should have said evening. It's the plurality of word. Evening. Why were there two evenings in this sentence? Why is there two evenings in this 14th day of the month? It means there's two evenings for the Sabbath or 14th day? According to the Word of God, yes. You also find that in Exodus, between the evenings. They didn't have an ancient word for in the afternoon. It's directly associated at what time? What is between the two evenings?
3:00.
First of all, when does evening actually begin? When does evening actually begin?
Noon.
Now it's getting, and it's heading toward the west. It's the beginning of the evening starts at 12:01. In scripture, during the time of Exodus, they left at midnight. Midnight? How could they tell when midnight's there? Didn't they leave the evening? No. They were to get rid of the lamb and burn it up before morning. In Hebrew, that word for morning means that morning watch. I talked to you about the four watches in the night, right? Okay, at midnight is what watch? Called the morning watch. It's very common. And we don't really look at this thing because, see, we are so embraced with a certain definition of a certain word, it can't mean anything else except when the sun goes down. That's not true. When was the Messiah killed? Was he killed in the evening? Or was he killed in the morning? When was he killed? Sometime between noon and 6:00. What's in between? 3:00. What time did the Messiah die? 3:00. What time are you supposed to kill the lamb? 3:00. It's very clear when you read, look at it. I'll get some scriptures for you to understand. It's different from different writings. I have to go. You could have it from Young's Literal Translation. I know that's English. Paul had for the Hebrew as well, so we understand. And it says in, for Young Literal Translation, on verse 25, is on the first of the month, on the 14th day of the month, between the evenings, plural, because that's what it is the Passover to Yahuwah. Now, the Stockholm Bible, which is German, right? There was the Jews who spoke German. They didn't speak Dutch. They didn't speak Italian. They didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke German. Dead, old-fashioned German. Okay? And it's a Shotgun Bible, or what's been translated now is known as the Five Books of Moses, but it's only volume number one. And he writes down here, translated literally from ancient, horrible, rotten language of German, right? We despise German language, right? Because we don't like Germans, right? We're anti-German, right? We're not anti-Jewish, but we're anti-German. We're not anti-Italian, but anti-German. Because we, our program is programmed with World War II. This happened, the writing took place long before World War I. Long before World War I, before Germany started World War I. All right? So let's be careful that we don't condemn a language that the creator of heaven and earth created. We say, no, mankind created. No. God says, I created the language. Period. Wait, I don't believe him. He said he did. So he's either a liar or we don't understand him. I'm very strong on that point of view. Hope you understand that. And here he translates it. Now he says, on the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the, oops, wrong one. That's Stonehenge. It's okay, I'll read Stonehenge first. You know, big, famous Stonehenge Bible that people got. Very, 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 very orthodox. Extreme orthodox. What have they to do with Christians? What have they to do with Messianic Jews? What have they to do with anybody? Just, they're this strange, very powerful, extreme orthodox. You want to use that word extreme orthodox? Go ahead and use. The first of the month, on the 14th day of the month, in the afternoon is the time of the Pesach offering. Now, not the time of eating it, the time of offering it. Keep in mind that it's killed in the afternoon. You're not to partake of it until nighttime, when it's dark. Which has a direct relationship to the Messiah being in the heart of the earth. I'm not going to go there today. So we look at this 23rd chapter and we say, it's telling us an awful lot of interesting things. But we have to know what it meant at that point in time. And knowing history, which I've talked to you people before about Exodus, and those words of the four watches at night, I'll explain all that means, what it refers to, and in great detail. Also find it, by the way, in the New Testament. You will deny me on the, when the, that doesn't mean a chicken. Does not mean a rooster crowing at midnight. Roosters don't crow at midnight. Someone, a choir out in the streets was crying and telling him what time it was. We did that in old New England. They go through, actually, very British too. You have these lights. They're lit by candles. And you go through there and the watchman says, what does he say? All's clear, all's well. As he walks down the street, lighting each one. All's clear, all's well. All clear, all well. It's called a crier. And we say, man, he must have bawled an awful lot. Got to be so ashamed, cry. If you only cry, it means you bawl. That's all he did all the time, right? No, that's not what it says. But you understand what I'm saying at this point in time? It's the same process that takes place many generations ago. Now, in this German Bible, it says there, on the first new moon, on the 14th day after the new moon, between the setting times, Passover unto Yahuwah. That's the German translation. Don't like it? That's okay. But you understand what I'm saying? We have, the reason why it's so important, because see, he's introducing something about what's called what? What is the 23rd chapter about? Moedim. Okay. So he's telling us precisely the time, when to do it, and why. Not necessarily why, but when. We have to go find out why later. Well, do you understand what I'm saying so far? It's not that hard to understand what's being said. Right? Now, when did the Israelites leave Egypt? Sesame DeMille tells you, right? Right? Good. Authorized. Good man. Right? Right? What time did he show the people leaving? When the sun was up and bright and clear. But they were kicked out at midnight. Pharaoh said, get out at midnight. That midnight time was called morning. It's after midnight. As soon as he killed the firstborn, the first thing that God ordered was, get out. Now, they left at night. And they landed in during the daytime. Where were they during the daytime? Huh? A place called Sukkot. What did God command them to do on the 15th day? Oh, yeah, okay, remember. You will eat unleavened bread. You have a holy convocation. You will do this and you will do that. When they left Egypt, did they have a holy convocation? On what day? On the 15th day. And they had it there. What was the assignment? No. Yes, part, but that's not the first thing. What did he say? 13th chapter. 13th chapter of Exodus. This is what you do on the 15th day. That was a holy convocation, and God would bring it forth holy people. He was proclaiming holy people. He says, you are a holy people unto me. And the first thing he claimed was what? What does verse 2 tell you there in Exodus 13? Sanctify me, all the firstborn. Set aside all those firstborn. On what day? 15th day, the first holy day. The first holy, first appointed time. Yes, Passover's appointed time. Now this is the appointed time that is holy time, sanctified time, where we always have assembly together. What were they supposed to do? Do you remember? Here Moses says there on the third verse there, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day which ye came out of Egypt. Now in Exodus, I mean Deuteronomy, I think it's the 33rd chapter, it says it was the 15th day of the month when they did this. And so we're here. And it's the day you came out of Abib, of Eve. So they left on night, the night of the 14th. They left on the 15th. And it was dark. Hoshech time. God does many more things in Hoshech time than he does in daylight time. He's going to come as a thief at what, noon? At Hoshech time. All right? And we know he's going to come. And we say, well, I want to see him coming. It's going to be Hoshech time. It's going to be dark time. And where does God dwell in? Cloud. Is the cloud nice and bright and pretty with silver around it?
No.
It's Hoshech. It's dark. When God first began to move upon the face of the earth, what does it say there? Tohu vavohu vahoshech. There's three things, not two. Three things. And it describes Hoshech extremely deep. As deep as the water. Pretty dark down there. So he starts from the bottom and he comes up. And 3 days later, what happened? He brought up the earth from out of Hoshech, darkness. Do you understand the pattern? That's the pattern of God. So now we're looking here. We're looking at this thing called, on the 15th day is the feast, or is the Moed of unleavened bread, back to Leviticus chapter 23. The 15th day is the Moed of unleavened bread. And 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. So there's a Moed of 7 days. Not just one, but seven. Now, how do you proclaim that?
You do it.
Huh?
You do it.
How do you do it?
You do the feast the way Heavenly Father said so.
And what do you do? Oh, first day you got it, right? What about the rest of the time?
I don't know.
You're supposed to proclaim it. How? unleavened bread.
Oh.
And people are going to say, what are you doing? I'm proclaiming Moedim. I'm proclaiming unleavened bread. And what does unleavened bread represent?
Holiness.
What? What? I can't hear. Something not right here.
Sincerity and truth.
Okay. It's purity in Greek and truth. So unleavened bread, when you partake it for 7 days, you're supposed to proclaim purity and truth. Not just eat the stuff. Yes.
So when I make sandwiches for my husband and he takes them to work and they have chicken and then instead of bread they've got matzah on both sides, he's proclaiming.
That's, yes, yes.
He's proclaiming.
Yeah, and if his friends ask him, what are you doing? He's going to say, I'm proclaiming purity and truth. I don't know if you ever thought about doing that. When someone asks, what are you eating on the bread? To proclaim purity and truth. That's what Apostle Paul called it, right? Of course, Apostle Paul, who's he?
I love you, Paul.
He's an important person, right? 99% of you people are here because of the right of Apostle Paul. To be honest with you, self. And then he leads you to the Word of God. And of course, it says you do it also on the seventh day. We have a holy convocation. It means you're going to come together and you're going to do something that is what? What are you going to do when you come together on the seventh day? What are you proclaiming? Holy or unholy?
Holy.
Holy. I can keep putting my hands up there until somebody figures, okay, it's got to be one or the other. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's an action. It's a deed. It's not just how you think or how you are. It's actually, it is how you are. You are doing it. You are proclaiming holiness. You may not think you're proclaiming holiness, but when you participate in Devarim Elohim, in his actions, in his Moedim, you are proclaiming holiness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to try to remember, God is not a complicated creator. You know, but Apostle Paul said something about the Son of God. He says, he is simple. He's simple to understand, simple to get things across. He's simple. If he is simple, what's his father like?
Simple too.
He was simple too. God is not out there trying to deceive us. He's out there proclaiming himself and proclaiming his son, and we, as individuals, can proclaim God by what we do, and we can proclaim God's holiness by doing what is holy. Does that make sense to you? You say, what's impossible? Well, not what Apostle Paul said, or Jesus said, that all things are possible with whom? With God. What is it that God wants you to do?
Holiness.
Okay. So it's possible. Don't have so much for days of unleavened bread, right? The next thing comes up is something during days of unleavened bread, and that's a certain offering that has to be taking place. And that offering comes when after they have harvested, actually what's said in Hebrew, after they have harvested the barley, they are take the first bundle or the first sheaf or first part and present it. It says the rosh sheet, the first rosh sheet of the harvest when they enter into the holy land or enter into the land of the Canaanite and to make it holy. Remember Canaan, the land of Canaan was not a holy land. Well, I read that part, right? They do this, they do that, they do this, they do that. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to clean that up. Proclaim what is holy. So when they went into the Holy Land or into the land of Canaan, what make it a holy land is not what God said, but what the people did to make it that way. Does that make sense to you? Our actions, our deeds can make something holy. We say, well, no, I can't do that. I'm an unholy person. Well, if you are, then God's going to have to tell you again, be you holy because I am holy. Simple as that, right? And it leads, of course, all the way to a very important time. We're not going to go through this all, but we're going to go all the way to verse 15. Leviticus 23. I want to try to get this down today. And this is a proclamation of, or proclaiming what? Something about seven Shabbats. Or seven, the feast of sevens. Or I would say Moad of seven. Moad of seven. Appointment of seven.
Is the seventh Shabbat, the seven sevens, is that the Passover? Or after? Is the Passover beginning?
I'm not getting the technicalities on that one. That's something that I have done so much research in. I know I have it right. But it's just controversy up one side, down the other. So I won't go into that conversation. There's too much conflict in it. So I'm not up here to cause conflict. I'm up here just to tell you what it says. Best of my ability. And there's things I do hold back because of what I see, and not everything I see is quite clear.
Can I ask you later?
We'll see. Let's go along this one though. And on this one, he says, on the morrow, the seventh Sabbath, that's exactly what it says in Hebrew, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new minhah unto Yahuwah. What's a minhah? A grain offering. What's involved with a grain offering? You remember? Oil, flour, and one kind of oil.
Olive.
No. Frankincense. This is very important. Well, frankincense is always connected with the minhah offering. All right. Do you remember these men from the east that traveled all the way to the west? And they gave something unto this boy. One of them was what?
Frankincense.
And myrrh and gold. Do you mean frankincense has something to do with the Son of God? And not with my health, my beauty, your beauty? Does gold have something to do with my wealth, your wealth, our wealth, or the wealth of the Son of God? Because he said, all the gold is mine. That's a symbolism that he gave. He's showing through symbolism that he gave all the gold that belonged to the Creator of heaven and earth, who created them all, and he gave the gold unto his Son. Wow. Did you ever think about that? And it was, quote, wise men, or should say kings. It's a symbolism of the nations of this world will grant and give unto the Son of God the wealth. That's why it says there in Isaiah, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Why? So he could teach us what is right and what is wrong, what is holy, what is unholy, what is clean, what is unclean, that we may be able to go back home and teach our people what is holy and unholy, what is clean, what is unclean. Book of Leviticus. Wait, I lost you. The very interesting phrase in this thing, in verse 17, he talks about these making two loaves of bread, see, with 2/10 of deal, 2/10, 20%. Okay. And it shall be a fine flour, and it shall be baked in wick with baked with this time with leaven. Oh, what's this? There's a minhah offering given unto Yahweh, that is unleavened. Now you start making bread. And you make two loaves of bread, and it must have leaven in it. Okay? And what does God call that bread? That leavened bread. What does he call it?
The first fruit.
Not the last one. Not the ones in between. Not the ones that are going to come along. It's the first one. When does that first one occur? Right here, in this particular point in time, on the Moed of Shabbats. Moed Shabbats, right? What is it that he said that represents? First fruits. We also know something else about God. When you read back, and you read the part of days of unleavened bread, and it's the, what kind of grain is there? Barley. That's also called the first fruit. You mean there's two first fruits? Yes, there are two, in a sense, first fruits. They are becoming united. Very important prophecy. And he says something very interesting in these things. And he said, now you're going to do all this. You're going to have the bread. You're going to do the lamb without blemish. And you're going to have a holah offering, a menahah offering. And you're going to do all this kind of stuff. And have that drink offering. And it said the last part of verse 8, why? It's what? It's a very pleasing thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a fantastic thing to Yahuwah. Those two loaves of bread are fantastic. They're awesome. They're presented to him and he does something with it. He takes it. Why two loaves? Why not 12?
I have no idea.
Why two? Anybody have an idea? I guess not. I have an idea. I'll talk about that in a little while if I have time. And he goes through there and he says, now on this particular time, the Moed Shabbats, or Moed Shabbat, on that particular day, which is 15 days after a certain period of time, something takes place. Something takes place. What takes place? A holy convocation. Right. So this is another one when he said the very first, to proclaim it, you're going to be doing something that proclaims the holy of the holy, put it this way, you know, holiness of Moedim Shavuot, which is the two loaves of bread. You got that? Now, in this stipulation, there's something that they are not to do. What are they not to do on this, before this time even shows up? What are they supposed to not do? Know what? Very important. This is not word of God's worthlessness. Has no point and no meaning. Nor is it about, oh, the person is starving. Give them something to eat. He's talking about something very important. Talking about the first fruits. He's talking about those two loaves of bread. They're presented to him. He takes them and he says, by the way, when you do this and you make this thing, I want, do not harvest all your wheat. Do not clean up the threshing floor. Now, that's a pretty messy place, right? Why on this particular point in time, this particular event approaching and has a connection with Moed 7, what's the object here with God? We already know the object of God is what? The two loaves of bread are something presented to him. And it's holy conversation, the first fruits. So what's left behind? Why is the harvest not completely harvested? Why is the threshing floor not completely picked up?
Because the poor have to be able to gather wheat too.
Who is the poor?
The people who don't.
And who is the stranger? Who is the poor and who is the stranger? Blessed are the poor because they what? Now, Jeff went through a very fine detail about that word poor, which is both in Hebrew and in English. What was he talking about when he said poor? What? Poor in spirit.
Humility.
There's no strength. I'm sorry, what?
Humility.
Yeah. There's nothing there. And so now God is saying, leave it for those who have nothing, so they can partake of my blessing. Don't clean up the threshing floor, so they can take of my blessing and make bread. Not to eat, but my bread. When we partake of the bread, what happens? Practice holiness. You have a, I got to get this thing going because I'm almost finished here now. I'm going to wrap this board up. We only got now very long left. And then he goes into, and the next one is verse 23. It has to do with the Feast of Trumpets. And it has to do with blowing of the trumpets and the Sabbath day. What was it for? Assembling. What were they to assemble? Do you remember what 10th chapter of Numbers? They are to assemble, and then God says, now move. Where are they going to go to? Yes, we can really associate with military. We can associate with an army. But he also said, blow the trumpets on a holy day. Blow the trumpets on your festival days. Blow the trumpets when you're happy. Rejoice. So it's not the trumpets, it's not only, quote, the time of the Lord. It's also a blessed time. Yes. But for the world, it would be nasty. And verse 26, another break in time, he said, now I want to talk one more point. Oh, was there a question over there? Oh. And he says, now on the 10th day of the seventh month, you're going to have a day of atonement. Really? What do you do on the day of atonement? He said, you're to afflict your souls. What does that mean? Horrible word for soul. It means you afflict your breath. Something's going to happen. Why are you? You became a living being because God breathed into you. You became a nephesh. Right? You became a nephesh. In Hebrew, that means exactly what it means. You became a nephesh. What's nephesh? Breathe. You're able to breathe. You became a nephesh. A living one. Okay? But we also know that nephesh will not last. Because he said, no, it's not scripture. The soul that sins shall die. The nephesh that sins shall die. Sometimes I wish it would translated, the breath that sins will die. Then we get that picture, wouldn't we? We get it real clear in our brain. We're not talking something like, oh, I have something here that I don't know what it is. No, it's your breath. It's your life. It's who you are. Let's continue on. And what happens at that time? That's a very nasty thing shows up here. He talks about whoever, verse 30, whatever nephesh it be that goes into any work on that day, that same nephesh I will destroy from among his people. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? That means like what? Kill, murder, slaughter, blood and guts. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Depends upon how it's used in a sentence. This particular interesting, he didn't say, I will destroy from me, or I will destroy, but he added those other three things, from among his people. What does that mean? Actually, in Hebrew, it means to be blotted out. That's pretty serious, don't you think? Yes.
Would you say then later to add my name again to the book of life?
I can't say that one way or the other because I really don't know. be honest with you there. The Book of Life, I have no idea whose name's in there. I hope that God, mine's in there, but he can blot it out if he wants, you know, if I do this, not physically, but I mean, if I actually do not proclaim Moedim on atonement with my breath, being afflicted. Oh yeah, just short breath. I guess that means, huh? If I have short breath, I guess I'm afflicting my breath. If I afflict my breath, then okay, I'm doing it right. But I'll go on eat anyway, right? I'll go and work. Just as long as, but I know I work real hard, I'm out of breath. I must be afflicting myself, right? I'll run for a mile and a half, 2 miles, nonstop. See, I'm afflicting my breath. Is that what it says? Is that what it means? Who actually afflicted his life? Who actually afflicted his breath? The Messiah. So we do this in remembrance of him. Remember, the Day of Atonement is not a negative day. It's extremely positive. Very picture unbelievable of the deep, wonderful future. And it's offered to mankind. He's going to present to mankind the afflicted body of his son. And prophecy says the people of Israel will weep and cry as if they killed their own son. They pierced his own son. That's what God's after. A broken and a contrite spirit. Not a broken and a contrite breath. Just a broken, a contrite spirit. All right? Keep those words in mind. I'm almost finished here. Then, of course, it goes on and it says, on the 15th day of the 7th month, there'll be a Feast of Tabernacles. So the Feast of, it will be the Moed of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. Appointment of something. All right? So when we read the word feast, keep that in mind. Here in the 23rd chapter, it's talking about Moedim. Appointed times. Appointed events. Appointed seasons. And even with, we went through the thing of the Aaron and his sons, they were Moedim, not in time, but Moedim to be high priest. Appointed to be high priest. And when God Moedims us, that's different than Moedim a time. He Moedim us. This is what we read here on the time of the Feast of 7 weeks. Moedim. It's not Moedim of wheat that we eat or make bread with. It's Moedim of the first fruit. Right? So it's pretty good that we go through this chapter, even though one of us know what it's all about. Well, it's kind of nice to go in detail a bit. And of course, the first day shall be a holy Sabbath day. And on the eighth day, there shall be also a Sabbath day. So the eighth day is totally 100% connected to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's not really separated from one another. It's the completion of Tabernacles. It's the concluding matter of the Moedim of Tabernacles. Is the Moedim of 8. A brand new start. Where do you go from there? There's one statement which I hope I can find here. I thought I underlined it here. I guess I didn't. I want to get back and see if I can't find that. Well, they won't. But there's something here about, there's not in this chapter. There's something about, you know, the certain things belong to the priest, right? He can eat certain kind of foods no one else can eat. Remember, we'll get to that point later, but it's in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is. Anyway, there, you know, when you pay, quote, a tithe to the Levites, before Deuteronomy changed the rules, if I use that terminology, then the Levites were supposed to pay a tithe of all they got, but that tithe is not the first one. It must be, this time, the best one. And the best one is given to Aaron and his sons and the Aaronic priesthood. They get to eat it. Nobody else gets to eat it. And when those words come in that only the priests can eat it, not anybody else, just the priest, meaning Levitical priest, not Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, that means that only belongs to our priest. He gets it all. He gets the best of the crop. He gets the best of the best. He gets the wonderful of the one. He gets the wealth of the people. He gets the... I won't go there, but I'll throw in the words. He gets the frankincense and myrrh. He says, last part, it says, all of your generation, you may know that I am... made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, and I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. And Moses declared, well, a different word now, not proclaimed, declared unto all children of Israel the Moedim of Yahuwah.